Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had. It's time for your new business journey. 2 in 5 Americans are business owners or thinking about becoming business owners, and so we'd like to ask our panel a question, and today's question is, what's the smartest thing you did in the first 90 days of starting your business, and what do you wish you'd done differently? So, Shaker, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I know that, it's a real honor to be here. I would guess, I wouldn't say this is the smartest thing, but I felt that this was the right thing to do, which was to really build with moral clarity, build a company with moral clarity versus technical clarity, right? I did not go after the product market fit and all those things. I just said, does the values and the market fit together? And I had to ask myself, is the problem really worth solving even if it fails?
Mm-hmm. Right? So when you say,
and that became the compass of what I was trying to basically go after.
So when you focused on the moral aspects of the business, I mean, there's a pretty wide variety of morals out there. How did you yes. tune yourself to that? How did you make that work?
Well, you know, for one, basically, you're a product of, you know, how you grow up. Okay.
Yeah.
And for me, I had this incredible journey in my life. I come from slums in India, where everything about access to education, you know, paying for funerals, or even like, you know, just attending school, was a difficult thing, you know? And I grew up in a single room with, like, you know, 8 members in my house. And when I came to the United States, I just had $34 in my pocket. But what made me who I am is my father's hand. My father used to make 150 rupees, which is $1.75 a month. And he never kept it for himself. He actually would go and help everyone around in the community. And so he left a lot of angels for me, Richard. And those angels have guided me. I remember once I swerved on a 5-lane highway in Washington, D.C. at 3:45 in the afternoon. I missed everything by a whisker and I stood on the brake lane. What do you call it? Not physics, not luck. It's angels.
But and just for your information, in New Jersey, we call that the Jersey slide. When you cross 5 lanes of traffic in one fell swoop.
Speaking of angels, I got to tell you, my guardian angels are pretty worn out.
I lived in an industry where it is deeply human, right? Like supply chains, if you think about it, 500 million people work in the world of supply chain. 500 million, from all the way from extracting raw materials to making the products, distributing it out and bringing it to your door, 500 million people. The only two countries bigger than that is India and China. Okay, so if you are actually going to change the industry, you have to basically humanize everything that you're trying to do. You cannot like forget what makes the system. And so for me, if I'm going to be changing the world of logistics and supply chain, organizing and orienting myself, just like my father did it for me, being an angel in many people's life was what I wanted to be in this journey and helping that human goodness to come out in the process of making this company.
I mean, that's great. I do want to come back to this during your interview, because I think that's a really interesting topic, because I think it's very aspirational. And I'm curious about how you took that and those principles and integrated them into your business. But I want to hear from our other panelists too. Kurt, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I echo Shaker. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the podcast. I look forward to this very much. And I'm very impressed with what Shaker just said. That's very moving. He's got a great story there. I'm certainly interested in learning more about that. With respect to myself and my company's journey, first 90 days, I would say things that we did right, and I look back on as saying we got that right, would be we definitely engaged a strong, diverse management team, professionals including legal, accounting, finance, marketing. And as a leader, I think it's very important to keep those people communicating, keep them aligned, and make sure that we adapt to changes in what's going on in our business cycle. Things that I maybe you wish you did better looking back. I think companies sometimes, and we were a little bit guilty of it, just waiting too long to start. I think oftentimes startup companies are always saying, well, if I just do this, then maybe I'll be ready to go. Or, okay, we did that. Now let's do this too. I want to be sure that's perfect before we press go. I would just encourage people, you know, get it close enough and then go and let the business start to naturally form. You're going to make mistakes. I can't imagine anybody has ever started a company and been perfect. And I can't imagine anyone's ever come out and just said, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. So I think just some of the reluctance to start, to try to set that aside and get yourself squared up and ready to go. Believe in your product, believe in your service, whatever you're offering. Take a hard look at the market that you're proposing to engage. Make sure you have a story of why would my product or my service be useful in the current market, the current competition environment, whether that's a pricing strategy or just a better product or better customer service, whatever it is that your story is, be sure to promote that and then stick with it and enter the market.
Great. Thank you, Kurt. So, Noel, welcome to the show. Noel London, tell us about what you did right in the first 90 days and maybe what you would do differently looking back at it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. As Richard mentioned, my name is Noel London. I'm the founder and CEO of Illuminus. We're the first employee data platform that is powered by AI, built for the mid-market and built with a community of about 300 different HR leaders. You know, I would say, I think similar to Shaker, you know, I think that there was a whole lot of journey that happened before those first 90 days. I would actually say that the journey before the first 90 days is probably the most important. For myself personally, you know, I was fortunate to start working with entrepreneurs right out of undergrad with the Peace Corps. I was down in Nicaragua for a couple of years. Learned there that I'd actually been an entrepreneur and didn't necessarily know it and didn't have the vocabulary for it at the time, but I'd had businesses before. And I knew that, you know, to me, entrepreneurship was all about creative problem solving. I fell in love with it. I knew that I was going to be a founder and I was going to start a company. And so what I did is I spent about a decade getting ready to launch this company. So, you know, Kurt, I hear you on you wait too long to start. But what I did during that decade is I spent a lot of time around entrepreneurs. I worked for startups. I was an investor myself. I started incubator programs and I led corporate innovation teams. And so what that taught me is, you know, how do you build great companies? It also allowed me to help a whole lot of people along the way, because when you start a company, you need a lot of help. You ask a lot of favors. You ask too many favors, but you really need to be able to build up that social capital before you launch. So I would say that for me, before those 90 days, there was a whole lot of work that went into this thing. I was definitely not the person that said, oh, I thought about starting a company. A lot of people say they think about starting a company. It doesn't mean that you're actually doing it. They're very different things. So for me, I would say getting ready to launch the company. If anybody that's listening is thinking about that, you're serious about it, you're ready to give everything up for it. There's so many resources that are out on the market. They're free resources. There's a lot of good advice. There's also a lot of bad advice that's out there, but really take in the resources that are there to support you. You don't have to start on your own. In my first 90 days, I think the best thing that I did is I had a paying customer and I was onboarding said paying customer. So didn't start the clock, didn't go in, this was very much a side of the desk type of thing until we had real revenue and I actually had to quit my job to keep running this business. So I would say, focus on the part of getting ready before you make the jump. Really know the problem, really know that there's a market for this problem before you jump in. See that somebody's going to pay you, they're going to sign a contract before you go all in on this solution. And then those first 90 days were an absolute blur. All I will say is I'm glad that we just moved really fast. We kind of like Shaker mentioned, and he was talking about values. For us, we set our values and our behaviors on day one for the organization, and we just moved and we went, and we were super nimble because those first 90 days, all you're doing is just learning and adapting. So, that's all I would say of what went into those first 90 days. If I could change anything, I don't know. I kind of can't look back. I made a million mistakes probably in those first 90 days, but I also think that, they built us and they made us stronger as well.
Perfect. Elizabeth.
Well, when we decided that we were going to refurbish our studio for use by other people, I think one thing that we did right in the first 90 days, first of all, we did do a lot of research to see if there would be a market. I actually started a meetup, and this was like a year before the studio opened, to see if there were local people who would come and that would want to do use a podcast or content creation studio. And then one thing we did right was I started really networking, and we had a grand opening. We had the mayor come with the big pair of scissors and the ribbon. It's a storefront, basically. It's a physical space that people rent, and got a lot of business from that. So we have a corporate client now that's a repeat customer, and we've had a few other people use the studio, and some people say they want to do repeat business here. Getting people over the hump is a little tough because people don't like being on video, and it's kind of intimidating with all these cameras that we have in here and everything. But that was one, I think, mistake I made, was that I didn't realize, I mean, I thought I would do some coaching, but when we first had this idea, we thought people would just come and know how to do it and just use the studio. I really have to be a hands-on coach, which I'm getting paid for, so that's fine. And I enjoy helping people and doing it. But that, I think one mistake was underestimating how much help people need to start a podcast, because it's not easy for people. This is not easy. And there's a lot of steps to it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I guess, I'm listening to everybody talk, and I'm just thinking about when we started Gearheart Law. I think I did everything backwards. So maybe I should start with all the things that I did wrong first. Well, for example, like it's been 20 years since we started, and it's only been like the last year that I've actually even been really thinking hard about company culture. I started as an attorney, and we're not really trained in, business protocol, business structures. I took one class that told me I had to learn about marketing, I had to learn about, finance, I had to learn about HR. And over the years, I've just kind of maneuvered my way through these. And, I've definitely had strategies, but when you talk about things like cultures and values, I'm not sure I really completely understood that concept until, just recently, and even now, just kind of talking about it. I think what I thought would help make us successful was my personal knowledge of intellectual property. And also, I felt like I had an authenticity that clients would find appealing. And so I came from the corporate world where attorneys had the company as a client, and you were always thinking about the company's interest first before your own personal interest. And so when it came to counseling clients, I was always like, well, what's in the best interest of you? Less than what's in my best interest as a business owner. And I think that, you know, single kind of concept went a really long way in helping us, you know, grow. And so I think, you know, the best thing that I did was, I think, just was maybe not spend so much time thinking in terms of business structures, and just kind of being myself and, you know, learning as I went. And I guess if I had things to do over again, maybe I would be a little bit more deliberate, and maybe I would get a little bit more education in the ways of managing a company. But everything's turned out great. And I guess, you know, what they say based on what I've heard here is, you know, the first 90 days of a company can really kind of define your trajectory. And so I think when you're doing it, you just kind of have to trust your gut and, you know, build momentum as we go. So that's the takeaway from that.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.